Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:37 Central African time. I'm sure you're having a beautiful, wonderful, lovely morning with us. And if you're with us on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, I tell you, you also will be spiritually connected. Alhamdulillah, all of our beautiful programming will be coming through later on now. Mufti A.K. Hussein from 2 to 4 p.m. on his famous Q&A with the Mufti A.K. 47. Yeah, firing on all cylinders. But someone that keeps the parliament really on the toes. And he's known as a firebrand. He's the member of parliament. He's our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, the leader of the NFP, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I must admit, a fantastic day in the city of Cape Town. Absolutely blue skies. I think after many days, we are going to have a beautiful day today. It's a day for the beach. It's a day for people to go out. I think for many days in the last week or so, people were not able to go out a lot. But I think the day today, mashallah, what a lovely day.
Ahmad, before you go ahead about that beach, I want to know, I'm going to take you back in history, way back. You remember the Reverend Hendricks of, I think, was it the Labour Party or what party? And then in the party days, it was very cold that morning. But he put on his Bermudas and he dived into the beach. But he went into the white beach. Remember that history, Ahmad?
Yeah, Brother Shepherd, you know, those days, it was a no-go area, you know. There were so many of these beautiful beaches that we were not able to go to because of the apartheid laws that were in place. But let me tell you the beauty of it all, Brother Shepherd. For that long period of time, nobody were able to get to these beaches. But the day you decided to open it up, there's no place in the beach. The beach is so full that I can tell you, it's like, you know, something fell off heaven like you've never ever, you know, people all wanted to have a taste of it and see what it is all about. But it has continued decades later. You can see that the beaches are so flooded at times, particularly during public holidays and festival season or long weekends, that there's very little space left. And maybe I think it's time for them to start exploring the ideas, because we have stretches, kilometers of lovely ocean. And I think maybe they need to start exploring some of the other areas. The only difficulty, though, Brother Shafat, is it was, you know, many years ago, it was very, very safe. You could walk around on those beach late hours of the night, early hours of the morning, and it was a norm for you to be walking around 10, 11 o'clock at night at the beach, the beautiful evenings and things of that nature. But it's a thing of the past. It's very difficult to do that currently. I mean, here is an example. A South African police vehicle, marked vehicle in the Eastern Cape, goes and gets hijacked. How do you like that one? So these criminals, for some reason, they have no respect for anybody whatsoever.
But no, on that beach thing, talking about no respect, what about those people? I mean, the EFF recently, you know, they brought a year ago, they brought a goat. And they slaughtered on the beach where they were holiday makers. I mean, people were enjoying the beach. And they said, no, this is our cultural rights. And when you walk in, especially in the KZN, you know, South Coast and all, you'll find, you know, your apples and oranges floating. You'll find the roosters and hen, black roosters, black hens are thrown on the beach side. And then you'll find, you'll even find candles, you know, like devil worshippers doing their rituals, and lime and all these are floating in the waters. And then you find, you know, all these different types of groups coming and having the religious or the cultural thing, you know, sometimes causing a lot of inconvenience to bathers. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmad?
Yeah, it's been going on for a long period of time, where you'd also find these traditional leaders saying at the stroke of midnight they have to be on the beach, they have to do certain things. And I'm telling you now, I think I told you this, I spoke to a woman the other day, and she's a presenter on one of these shows. And she says that people are paying up to 85,000 rand, Brother Shepherd. I tell you, they are flooded with calls. And the guy is a traditional healer. He's been a pastor and things like that. And he tells them he can remove the toklosh from their homes and things like that. 85,000 rand. That is what an ordinary person finds. Okay. to be able to go and believe these guys that they will remove this and remove that. And but the consultation, I'm told, is 25 rand at a time, and the phones never stop ringing. But you are correct that people used to go there, cut the, well, not the chicken, they used to say they're cutting the fowl, they have to go and do that, the black rooster, isn't it? The black one they used to say.
The black one.
And the whole lot of things that have been actually going on, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all these people for all the things that they have been doing. You know, simple things, they've blown it out of proportion. And I think they've made a lot of people, vulnerable people, they've taken advantage of them. And it continues today. If you look at what is happening today, the amount of people, and particularly among the black culture, brother, I've noticed that they pay a lot of attention to these things, a lot of attention, and they spend a lot of money on these things. I mean, you go to the extent that you commit a crime, and then you go to one of these nyangas or traditional healers to go and cleanse you. You know, so really, I mean, there's a whole lot going on. But be that as it may, we have a new king in KwaZulu-Natal. But I can tell you a last-minute court, urgent court application was struck off the roll. But, Brother Shafat, it's very concerning on this particular matter because, you know, if you were not able to resolve these matters through dialogue, and now it's no more two people that were going for the position of the king, now it was three. Another one had entered the fray, and you know it poses a certain amount of instability in the royal household and risks, of course, and you know and it's very frightening what can go wrong because some of these have done everything possible to try and stop the coronation of the king and things like that, and they have, you know, failed. It's very unfortunate that, you know, I don't know if it is as a result of them being too close to politicians and political parties. Their infighting has now escalated amongst them.
Ahmed, that point that you made, if they're too close to political party, because here it was CR that embossed and endorsed this king here. You know, this one that's ruling. It was, you know what, he gave him his certificate. He said, I embossed it. There's it. You run it. And what I'm going to do very soon, you must agree with me, the Ingonyama Trust, I'm going to take it out of the equation. Ahmed, you're a genius, Ahmed.
But let me tell you, let us not forget that Mangosuthu Buthelezi is a thick of it as well. And he's trying to protect his political domain as well. So, yes, it's going to be very, very interesting. And I can tell you now, this is going to split this royal household to such an extent. And if you've noticed, Brother Shafat, that there have been a very high presence of security and bodyguards and all those things. But how long are you going to be able to sustain and maintain that kind of thing? Because, you know, we know about the history and what can actually go wrong here. And it makes it worse when politicians decide to take sides rather than finding common ground and bringing their people. But what it clearly indicates that the royal household believe they are above the politics and everything. So they have absolutely very little or no respect even for politicians and political parties. And of course, sometimes you don't blame them because politicians have brought it upon themselves. But be that as it may, you know, it's also not correct for you to go and interfere, in my view, in the problems of the royal household. I think you needed to have brought them together to a common table and got them to sit down and discuss and find a way forward, because it will continue to, you know, cause chaos and instability. This matters in court will continue. You're going to be on shaky ground for a long period of time. There's risks to the current king as well. So, yes, we need to look at all those things and whether it is really going to help the people themselves. Of course, we know that under the Ingonyama Trust land, people have not really benefited all these years. And there is an attempt by government to want to treat the Ingonyama Trust land as any other land where they want to give more rights to the people. But, you know, on that basis, I must say that, you know, and there's been a lot of complaints from the people, you know, that are living on the Ingonyama Trust land. They have absolutely no ownership rights over the title deeds, no development. They are very restricted. And as much as money that is being appropriated to the royal household you know, nothing much is done as far as development for the community. I mean, let's just look at it. KwaZulu-Natal, Northern KwaZulu-Natal thing. What have major inroads have they made or development to boost economic growth and job creation, recreational facilities? Nothing. What they have is what they've had for the last 30, 40 years, and, you know, and it's just deteriorating. So really, very little has really been achieved in that period of time. The crime statistics...
I want to add here, if you look at the Zulu culture, the Zulu royal family, there was always there's a tension, you know, there's always a problem in the family. You look at Shaka Zulu, you look at his brother Dingaan. I mean, they were having fights with each other, killing each other, murdering each other. They say Shaka himself he was put into exile by his father. His father didn't want him, so him and his mother left and they stayed in Swaziland. And as soon as his father passed away, he came back and he took over. But he killed over 2 million people that were loyal to his father. So it seems as if this culture of violence and this culture of uncertainty in the Zulu monarchy is partly a hereditary thing. But I'd like you to comment on it.
I must tell you that I feel that, Brother Shafiq, being amongst many people in KwaZulu-Natal, I don't think it's only limited to the royal household, but I can tell you that I feel it in KwaZulu-Natal, you know, the discontent, the infighting, the divisions, the thing for power and control. It's filtered into to ordinary people in KwaZulu-Natal particularly, and that is why you'd find that most of your instability, even in the country, comes from KwaZulu-Natal. Most political parties, if they ever have problems, they are stopped in KwaZulu-Natal. So I must tell you that it has certainly, you know, from the days of Shaka and Dingaan and things, it has now come right down to the ground. And it's going to continue. You can see it. In fact, it's got worse now. The situation now, even with the third person, who wants to be the king as well. So the amount of infighting you're going to get. So it does not mean that if the king is sworn in now, you know, everything is going to be okay. I can tell you now, these people are not going to accept it. They're going to continue fighting. Political parties are going to take advantage of. Some of them are going to align themselves with the those that have been left out, and others are going to align themselves with the king as opportunists, because of course power, they won the votes, and this is what it is all about. But it's not going to help the cause, and you are correct, lots and lots of them have died, and if we don't solve this problem amicably, many others can, you know, we can have a repeat of what's happened in the past. But I must say again that it's not limited to the royal household. Tensions in KwaZulu-Natal is something else, Brother Shafiq, I can tell you. And maybe, I don't know, the KwaZulu-Natal, once it's independent, I'm not sure the way, you know, that they conduct themselves, whether they would ever be able to make success of KwaZulu-Natal, if ever we've got independence as far as KwaZulu-Natal is concerned. If you look at the state of the municipalities, most of them are in the intensive care unit. The delivery of services are so poor. Corruption is rife. People are living in abject poverty. So, really, KwaZulu-Natal is one of those provinces that is taking us back.
Yeah, I must say that the Federation of the Kingdom of isiZulu could be a dangerous federation. But Ahmed, I don't know if you whispered in Cyril Ramaphosa's ear, but this is what I'm reading here. It says that President Cyril Ramaphosa signed into law the Municipal System Amendment Bill. The bill bars the municipal and senior managers from holding a political office. The legislation prevents our top brass in municipalities from holding political office in a party, whether in a permanent, temporary, or acting capacity. Did you whisper to Cyril Ramaphosa, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, MP?
Brother Shepherd, this matter was raised again and again and again for many, many years. And the law that he has now signed, well, the amendment, is not enough, let me be honest with you, because people know how to manipulate these things. And I think we expect a lot more if you want to deal with the problems that we face, particularly at local government level. You have to separate administration completely from politics. You must make a choice what you want to do. Now, it does not mean, you know, and people know how to get away with this, Brother Shepherd. Yes, it might, to some extent, and very little extent, in my view, prevent the corruption, the looting and things that takes place at this point in time. The fact that you are aligned to a political party and just on paper you may not have that title, but the fact that you have that relationship, you come from them, you've been in senior positions in those organizations, how are you going to change? Your allegiance will lie with that organization, Brother Shepherd. So only difference is that, well, now if you were the chairperson of that area, you will, of that region or district, you'll for that period of time that you're going to be the CFO or the municipal manager, so you want. Does that simply mean that now you no longer have that influence that you had before? No, clearly not. So I don't think it goes far enough to be able to solve the problems we got on the ground. In fact, I say we should go one step further, that no politician, mayors, deputy mayors, speakers, should ever have anything, I want to repeat, to do with appointing and employing people. I'm going to give you an ideal example, Brother Shafan. And you're going to see this matter is coming up this week. First of all, we have now employed a secretary to parliament who was willing to give up his 5.6 million rand salary for 2.4. I'm not sure who is willing to drop 3.2 million rand every year, but that is what he's done. Secondly, we've got a person employed in parliament, and that's the matter that's coming up this week on Thursday. Now, a person in parliament, an employee, committed suicide as because of the way he's been treated. I am told that the contract for this manager, despite the commission finding him guilty, okay, has been extended. We raised this concern. They've now extended it another year. And what is worse, I've just heard that this person only has up to grade 11, but he's earning 1.7 million rand a year in parliament. So do you think that signing this into law is going to change anything? Clearly, it is not going to change anything. So this is to what extent I want to say again and again that government misleads the people into believing that they're sincere about corruption and changing that and dealing with them. But on the ground, very little or nothing is happening. They are very selective when they want to deal with people, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the Gauteng government has hired an independent forensic investigator to probe the slain whistleblower Babita Deokaran's allegations. The Department of Health official was a critical witness for the special investigating unit and was gunned down in 2021. There is that independent. Why are they dragging their feet? This case should have been solved long ago, Ahmad.
Well, yes, indeed, and yes, it is my wish that they accelerate this process and intensify it to be able to identify those that are behind it. Yes, indeed, I think you can see, Brother Shafford, that when it comes to when you want to be ethical and maintain high levels of morality and do the right thing, this is how you are removed. I think the least they can do is, and we owe it to her and her family to be able to ensure that justice is done, that those that have committed this heinous crime are brought to book as soon as possible. Clearly, you know, she was removed because of the information, the evidence she was going to lead. And she's been very vocal about some of the corruption that has been going on. And like that, there are many other people that are being assassinated. So if you do the wrong things, you got a lot of friends. You do the right things, you got a lot of enemies. There it is again. But, you know, in the barbaric manner in which they've assassinated, this one must be condemned. But I'm glad that, you know, something is being done to be able to bring these people to book. Because otherwise, Brother Shepherd, whistleblowers, for fear of their lives, will not come forward. And I want to say this matter, too, was raised again and again. There's not enough protection for whistleblowers. Not only whistleblowers to that level, Brother Shepherd, even on informers in the communities. Now, if you've noticed, many years ago, we used to have a lot of informers. Every police officer, investigating officer, used to have informers attached to him, which were on some kind of a stipend, okay, which government is not allocating and providing for at this point in time. So there's very little or no informers on the ground as well. And then they did not have the protection that they that needed. For that reason, they decided not to be informers. So, and you're not going to be able to solve a lot of these crimes if you're not going to be able to have people that are giving you information from time to time. If you look at some of the arrests that have been made, it is as a result of somebody blowing the whistle somewhere, particularly serious crimes. And so that is why I think you need a more inclusive society if you want to deal with crime, to work with the communities, because the policing forums are not, for me, they are not achieving much, I must be honest. No, really, they're not. They've become like a, just another structure there, you know, or management structure, to be honest. But on the ground, where they are supposed to be the go-between, the people and the police, very little or nothing is happening. I think you have need greater input from the people on the ground, and you need informers and things that they need to work with, and who must also be compensated and protected as well, because otherwise their lives in danger. Why would they want to do it?
Yeah, as I'm going to tell you, where's the Mapimpas? Hey, Mapimpa. Okay. Mapimpas, you make a lot of money. Well, Amanda, we'll end up on this. Former DA MPs Mbali Nthuli and Mpumzile Van Dam have criticized Natasha Mazzoni's demotion as the party's chief whip. Mazzoni will represent the DA on the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence with specific focus on overhauling the state security. So there's a Van Dam, former member there, and former MP, that a DA MP, Mbali Nthuli, having a dig at Natasha Mazzoni, someone that you know very well, Ahmad.
Well, you know, I must tell you, one does not know really the reasoning or the rationale behind that decision. But indeed, the chief, particularly for the DA, is a very senior position. And to be deployed to any committee, does not matter which committee, is really more downgrade. It's not really any promotion. So, they, you know, it might be politics of the Democratic Alliance. I'm not sure why and what is going on. Whether it has anything to do with the fact that, you know, Mazzoni and her husband are both members of parliament of the DA, and, you know, that was raised in the inquiry that is taking place at this point in time on the public protector as well. But we already don't know what is the rationale or reasoning behind it, or whether the DA going towards the election are, and they've been attacked previously on the issue of race in terms of positions, and maybe that's why they decided to give it to the current chief whip. But I must tell you that she's quite capable as well. She's very vocal. She's very articulate. She's got a lot of capacity and things like that. And she makes valuable contributions in the chief whip's forum. She's been there for quite a while. But, you know, so I think from the perspective of quality, I think she is really capable for the position that they have given. And I'm one of them that wished her well. But in terms of why, you know, they removed Mazzoni, you probably come out, just a matter of time, you know, politics. Nothing stays there for a long period of time, but when it comes out. That's politics. You know, you're here today and tomorrow you're gone. And the moment you're gone, they forget about you. You know, how many of these politicians that have performed exceptionally well, and you come out there, you have these condolence motions, you praise them. And after that, has anybody ever, Brother Shepherd, visited the family members of those close colleagues that have died to check how you guys, how the children are doing, are they going to school, is everything okay? No, you are gone, forgotten overnight. After you come back from the funeral, you forget them. You never ever go back. So that's the sad thing about politics. Yeah.
Ahmad, absolutely brilliant this morning. Allah keep you. It's a Quran time. I see the time has caught up with us. But you have a blessed morning and a blessed week ahead. I will talk to you soon, Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.